on the day of Hashr, on the day of resurrection, certain deeds will be visible will be visible to the human being with regards to that person and his those deeds that he will see or she will see. And that person will not have knowledge that did I practice these deeds or did I not practice these deeds. And further, the rewards of those deeds, the effects of those deeds would be so much to this extent that possibly due to those amal, that person will attain Jannah, paradise. And that deed will have been so hidden from that person in the dunya, he doesn't even know or she won't even be aware that did I do this amal or not. This is how that deed will be, you could say, concealed or hidden. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah, mercy, always seeks out a person. Always seeks out a person. Not a second, not a moment, not a time passes in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah, mercy, does not seek His servant, His creation. Not a second passes, not a moment in which Allah Ta'ala's rahmah does not seek out His creation. In other words, always the rahmah of Allah is looking for us, seeking a path for us to attain a benefit. Allah Ta'ala always gives opportunities to people, and sometimes we people, us, implement a deed or deeds which, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, becomes a treasure for the akhirah, for the hereafter. A treasure for the hereafter. Now me, at this moment, I'm speaking, and the point that I am thinking in my mind, with the connection, with the relation, with the association, with dhikr, with Allah Ta'ala's remembrance. Because the dhikr of Allah, Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, is a very big action, a great form of worship. For somebody to attain this action, to do dhikr, is a massive, massive action, and it's a great blessing of Allah. And our minds at this moment cannot understand or imagine the greatness of this action of dhikr. But it is sad to say that the dhikr of Allah nowadays, at this moment in time, is not understood or appreciated. It's not there. It's not even present in the world. Some people are sat here to listen. Then this is not the haqq of the dhikr of Allah. Is this the haqq of our Rabb? That 100 people or 50 people or 200 people are listening? That's it from amongst the dunya. We think that, yeah, subhanAllah, that people are sitting 100, 150, 200 people to listen to this and to do the dhikr of Allah. Whereas everything in the creation, dharra dharra, does the dhikr of Allah. We are ashraf al-makhlukat, the human beings. And are we fulfilling the right due to the dhikr of Allah? Does it make sense? Forget about sense. Is it right that we spend moments in our life without remembering Allah? Is this the haqq, the right of a human being, that in this day and age, and we get this amal, this deed of Allah Ta'ala's remembrance, which totally is devoid from society, and it is azeem, the great action. And what mercy of Allah, but I will say with yaqeen that we come, but maybe a shove or a push brings us to this majlis. We still haven't understood what is the dhikr of Allah, what is the azmat. It's the karam of Allah that brings us. I speak about myself, you are mashallah pious people, elders good. It's Allah's karam that brings me here and seats us down to do dhikr. Otherwise we don't understand the azmat, the greatness of dhikr of Allah, Allah's remembrance. Is this the type of deed that I will take to Allah that I don't understand, that a person doesn't understand the greatness of an action? The Naqshband the silsara, alhamdulillah, this is also a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Naqshbandi silsala, that without understanding, giving, taking, we have entered into this silsala. This is also a thing that we need to think about. No akal, no understanding, no giving, no taking, no knowledge, nothing, no awareness. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the blessings. And when we realize in the hereafter what is Naqshbandi silsala, when we stood with Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, then we will understand that what is this? How did we reach it? How did we get here? That with such a great person we are stood. You'll say, why are you afraid? You are a member of my group. I am your head. I am the head of the group. Obviously, ultimately, we have to go to the head. We'll be attached to the head. So then we will realize that, how did I become a Naqshbandi? That how I didn't know about this silsila. I had no understanding, no knowledge, no awareness. Allah Ta'ala created that passion, the desire for me. I don't know how it occurred. What happened? And I was associated with the Naqshbandi order, the Naqshbandi series of teachers. So this is the karam, the mercy upon the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can explain to others, people won't understand. Or I can be told and I won't understand. But if Allah Ta'ala wills, then things happen without somebody telling me or making me understand or explaining to me, or go to the sheikh or go to that person. We don't want to move. People do move. Do people move? Do they go? You can try as much as you want. Even if you put the Quran high up and say that, look, this is the direction. No. I cannot follow that guidance. This is better. I don't accept, do I? We don't. But when Allah Ta'ala's karam comes, then jahil people like me, they are also included in the group. They have no understanding, no aql, no awareness, and entered into the Naqshbandi order of mashayikh. And this silsila, this order, this group of sheikhs who have passed away, the chain of sheikhs who are part of the Naqshbandi series, coming from Rasulullah through Abu Bakr Siddiq down to today, great personalities, great people in Hindustan. The silsila, when it spread, the Naqshbandi order, Hazrat Baqi Billah rahmatullah alayh came from Afghanistan, and in the Indian subcontinent there was no Naqshbandi silsila, because all of Islam came from outside. In India there was no deen or Islam before, all from the Arab countries. So Quran came, hadith came, and also Allah Ta'ala sent tazkiyah, also the subject of tazkiyah, of purification, and Allah's mercy came on the Indian subcontinent. The azim silsila, Hazrat Baqi Billah rahmatullah, came to India. There were many people who were listening, sat down about the silsila. They don't have much knowledge, don't have a lot of knowledge, do we? There are books, and we don't have time, there aren't enough books, but this is a big point that we sat here and we're listening to the majlis. That where do we have time? We sit down and we learn. We don't even have the time to listen to the cassette of the sheikh, or we'll read the kitab from tomorrow. We can't even fill in the sheets. This is our situation. So that's why I'll give you some introduction of the Naqshbandi silsila, so that we can realize that what is our family, who our elders are, who our pious predecessors are, that we have a greater relationship with these mashayikh than our blood relationships. This is the link and the connection we have with these people. So in the Indian subcontinent, the first sheikh of the silsila Naqshbandiya, of the Naqshbandi order series, was Hazrat Baqi Billah rahmatullah. And this is history. Hazrat Sheikh Ahmad rahmatullah alayh, and he was Mujaddad Alif Thani, and this was his title. This was his title, yeah? So his name, Hazrat Sheikh Ahmad Faruqi, rahmatullah, was his name. And he was a descendant direct of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. And he did a great duty and service to Islam. He revived the deen of Islam in the Indian subcontinent. If you read the history of India at that time, the Mughal dynasty was there. There was bid'at, innovation, and kufr, and shirk, and the wrong aqaid, wrong beliefs, wrong practices. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the great sheikh to India, and he revived Islam in the subcontinent. That's why he was given the title Mujaddad al-Afthani. Subhanallah. He was the wahid, one wali of Allah, whose khattab, whose title is given this Mujaddad al-Afthani. That he is that Mujaddad, that who was foretold by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that 1,000 years after me will be born a person who will revive my deen. So this is coming from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And many great achievements, a lot of struggle and effort for Islam that Hazrat Mujaddad al-Afthani rahmatullah did. And he revived the deen, he revived Sharia, he revived the sunnah, and he opposed the kings and who were wrong at that time, and he spread Islam. This wasn't some battle or fight that he threw bombs or beating people. No. These weren't the actions of this great sheikh. That this is some new method that's come out in this day and age of violence. No, Islam doesn't propagate violence, nor does Islam spread through violence, nor does Islam promote violence. First we explain through the Quran. Then if people don't understand, Allah Ta'ala explains through tasawwuf, tazkiyah, purification of the heart. And these are the two tools. First present the Quran. But if people are summun bukmun umyun, فَهُمْ لَا يَرْجِعُونَ, then Allah Ta'ala says that if they've got a dark heart, stone, then I'll send a person, the doctor of the heart, the tazkiyah, the wali of Allah, the friend of Allah, and he sends the message straight to the heart of the people. The hearts melt and they say, yes, there's Allah. Allah is there. We believe in Allah. So Hazrat Mujaddad al-Afthani rahmatullah alayh, the great sheikh, and he had, mashallah, when he passed away, he had children. And after Hazrat Mujaddad al-Afthani rahmatullah passed away, his son became the Khalifa. And from all of the sons, Hazrat Mujaddad al-Afthani selected his son, that you will be my deputy when I pass away. So when Hazrat Mujaddad al-Afthani rahmatullah passed away, and his name, his son was Hazrat Khwaja Masoom Faruqi rahmatullah alayh. And he was also from Sarhand Sharif. Sarhand is a place in India, and both has the father and son, their mazar, their graves are there. You've got all four corners, mashallah, around there. Allah Ta'ala's Noor is present in that town. And if you look at that place, your iman will be revived. If you go there, people who live in India, go there to Sarhand Sharif and do ziyarah of Sarhand. Because we don't have the passport, you have the passport, go there, and you can go and do ziyarah of such places, and faiz will come to your life. Faiz, blessings. So, Hazrat Khwaja Masoom Rahmatullah was the son of Hazrat Mujaddad al-Aftani. He was the Khalifa, the son, and what a great human being he was. How Allah Ta'ala gave him the blessings, that his father was proud of his own son, envious of his son, that he was 11 years old. And is 11 years age something of significance? And at the age of 11, he had completed the education from his father for this silsila. For this silsila. In other words, he was a born wali of Allah. A born wali of Allah. Allah Ta'ala had given him such, you could say, a status and rank. If we see that in their day and age, there was a Mughal king, Aurangzeb. Aurangzeb Alamgir Rahmatullah, and he was also a wali. He used to write the scripture, the Quran with his hand, Hazrat Aurangzeb Alamgir Rahmatullah. In that day and age, he had the kingdom. He was a king at that time, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him. And at that time, the king that was the king, you know, the Mughal kings, they used to live in full pomp and glory and strength and power and grandeur. And Hazrat Khwaja Masoom Rahmatullah was the wali of Allah of his time. If we imagine that, how many murids do you think he had? How many students did he have? He had students all over the world. And this was not the day and age of internet or travel, transportation, online systems. No. 900,000 murids he had. A whole country, you could say. 900,000 people were his students. And there were kings of various countries amongst within that 900,000. Because this silsila spread across the world. If you go and travel, you'll read up and see and become aware that the Naqshbandi order of teaching is spread all over the world. 900,000 students of Hazrat Khwaja Masoom Rahmatullah. And he had 7,000 khalifas, 7,000 deputies who in turn taught that deen. That they were taught. I'm not talking about today, 1,000 years back. Hijri 1,000, I'm talking about. What Hijri we now? 1438. Yes? So 400-500 years before us today. 1,000 years after Rasulullah ﷺ. And 400-500 years before today. So much kamal and achievement. The king of that time, he was also the marid, Hazrat Aurangzeb Alamgir. He was the marid of Hazrat Khwaja Masoom, and Hazrat Khwaja Masoom made him a khalifa. So the whole of the Indian subcontinent was under the influence of Hazrat Khwaja Masoom rahmatullahi. And this was his kingdom, you could say. In fact, really, although Aurangzeb was the king, but it was the kingdom of Hazrat Khwaja Masoom. Allah would spread the deen. Was there a battle here? Was there fighting? Were there bombs dropping? Was there fights? Was there killing? Were houses looted? No, this is not the style of Islam. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed the hearts, improved the hearts, and how Islam was spread. The whole country was under the influence of Hazrat Khwaja Masoom, and he promoted the deen Sharia. There were Hindus there, there were Sikhs there, different religions of faith. But people very rapidly and quickly came under the banner of Islam. Because they brought the true essence and the message of Islam to the people. And people loved Islam. So when the people became Muslim, like today, we see people, Muslims in India, and they are Muslims today due to the struggle, the efforts of our pious predecessors. Otherwise we'd be sat there and wasting our time now, wouldn't we? Yes? So it's due to the walis of Allah and their time, and go back before a bit of time, before that. So what a great ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should be so grateful to the pious predecessors who made effort on the deen of Islam. And they influenced the lives of people. So he was a great human being, great individual, great sheikh, great wali of Allah. He had such a great status and maqam that his, you can say, the karamat, the miracles, the actions, there were so many, you could lose count how many karamat were given. If I explain one to you, one event of his azmat, his greatness, that he was in Maraqba one day, in the same way like this, that just like we are, from the beginning of time, from the beginning of the teaching, after Fajr until Ishraq, Maraqaba, Alhamdulillah. And this is the habit that continues from the first time. This was the mahol, the environment in Akhanka, Hazrat Rahmatullah, my teacher, would do the same. Wherever he prays Fajr, the fakir sits down quiet, like the chicken, sat down and doesn't get up before Ishraq. That as long as he has to remember Allah until Ishraq. And this is the sign of the Naqshbandi silsila. He doesn't do any other action at that time. Nothing else. Straight away, where Fajr Jamaat is conducted, straight after Fajr Salah, after the Salam, after the end, just sit down, bow the head, Allah, 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 dhikr of Allah. So he was maraqib one day, was doing maraqba, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself came, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nor did he just come, rather he embraced him and said that Masoom, Hazrat Khwaja, Masoom saw this, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to him and embraced him and said, Masoom, I brought a message for you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah ta'ala has given you a very high status, urwatul wuthqa, urwatul wuthqa, very great status. And that your father was given qayyumiyat, and this was a big maqam as well. Your father was given the great status, nobody got this. But after your father, his father departed, Allah ta'ala gave him urwatul wuthqa. And the explanation, if I start, you won't understand. But this is a very ajeeb rank and status. What is the effect on the whole world of this wali? As a Khwaja Masoom, rahmatullah. This title, for wali has this title, for example, SHO, Senior House Officer, who's head of the inspectors. He's in charge of that area. And he has the ownership there. If there's a theft or crime, etc., he wanders around on his motorcycle. In our country, he's, SHO's coming, SHO, Senior House Officer. And here, ASI, Assistant Sub-Inspector, he's below the SHO, he's in his own area. So everybody has a position, a level, a certain level. DCO, Deputy Commissioner, he has the whole province, and wherever he goes, everybody will salute him. In the same way, the walis of Allah, they also have maqamat, levels, stages, abdal, and you have different areas. And these are spiritual points that I'm mentioning now. So they have their own areas and localities, and they do the work of the deen. In other words, in the time of Hazrat, rahmatullahi, at the time of Hazrat Mujaddid al-Iftani, rahmatullahi, and he was a Naqshbandi sheikh of his time, Mulana Tahir Lahui, rahmatullahi, was one of his khalifas. And somebody explained to him that that this is the hukum, the order of this person. He said, is it? Who is this person who can give such an order? An order like this. Then he understood, that the friend of Allah sat here somewhere. And he was seeking and looking, where would he go? And this is the abdal of that area, the abdal of that area. When he reaches there, then he reached there and the person was selling the green groceries, you know, the vegetables. And they put out, for example, like on the ground, they put a cloth, and he was selling the vegetables, and he was wearing a nice simple libas, and he went and gave him salam, and he looked at him. He said, yes, how comes you have come? He said, I've recognized you. He said, don't tell anybody that I said this point. And he was the Abdal of that time. Subhanallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spread his deen in this way. He has made the world exist due to the existence of the walis of Allah. And these things I can prove to you from the Quran and the Sunnah, from the verses. So in the same way, maqamat, we have the levels and the stages and the rank. The ghawth has his maqam, the abdal has his maqam. They have their jurisdictions and areas. And Mr. Urwatul Wuthqa, the title, subhanAllah, this is a massive title. It's the highest stage of wilayat of ma'rifat. And what will be the jurisdiction of this sheikh? What power Allah Ta'ala will have given to him? And what will have been his duty and his remit? You can say this is a very detailed discussion. I will not explain. So this is the spiritual realm. Well, so when he was given this allocation and assignment, Hazrat Khwaja Masoom Rahmatullah was a great, great wali of Allah of this silsila, Naqshbandi silsila. So let's think that he also, mashallah, this is the Mujaddadi silsila, isn't it? Naqshbandi. So the silsila that comes from his father, Hazrat Mujaddad al-Iftani, is the Mujaddi silsila, Mujaddadi, Naqshbandi, Mujaddadi. So extra title given to this series and this chain of the sheikhs. So if we think now that such a great sheikh, Hazrat Khwaja Masoom, rahmatullahi, and how he will have done the work of the deen, how he will have fulfilled the rights of the deen of the silsila, and his words and his wisdom and the pearls that he would have communicated and taught to people, and how important these things must be for us. Because we are students, aren't we? So if we think that ilm of hadith, knowledge of the hadith, and when we see a narration that comes from this person, oh, this is the narration of this sahabi, this is hadith al-Qudsi, or he's the narrator, etc. People are alert by reading or becoming aware. So the same in the world of the sawwuf, when we get riwayah, the narrations from different corners and directions, we realize, this is a riwayat from this sheikh, from this person, he's told us this, such a great piece of factual information, very high piece of information that I've learnt. So a letter came from the Khalifa to Hazrat Khwaja Masoom rahmatullah, and Hazrat Khwaja Masoom replied to the letter and wrote some words, some lines in that letter to his student, that let's pay attention to these lines and words. And very, I'm going to explain to you in basic Urdu, which is very difficult for me to do. But inshallah, you will understand what I'm saying. Because I'm speaking to you so that we understand, isn't it? So I'll explain simply, very easily, so that we can understand and take the lesson from this. So, So Hazrat, the Sheikh, the Khalifa gave an update to his Sheikh. He presented his situation and his update about his halqa, about his students, about his dhikr. Just like I used to update my Sheikh. For example, we used to ask for ijazah, permission. Whenever I used to go somewhere, I would seek permission. Hazrat, I'm going on a tour, I'm going to London or Birmingham, etc. Then Hazrat would reply, said, yes, go do this, stay this many days there, go to this locality, to this area. Obvious that if the Sheikh doesn't give ijazah, then how can you do tabligh? Because the link comes from the Sheikh. So through the letters, telephone is disrespect of the Sheikh. If you want to, so we used to write with caution and manners and respect. At Ram, we used to seek permission from Hazrat. Sometimes Hazrat would say, no, don't do this or don't go here. I remember that I was going to Africa and there was a place, I was present in a place, and Hazrat's letter came, they come back straight away. And it was a lot of work of the deen. The Khanka was constructed, alhamdulillah. And there's Khanka there, a Khanka in Africa. And thousands of people had come, many people had come, and they were, mashallah, coming there. So Hazrat gave hukum, order, that come back straight away. And I didn't understand that such a big work of the deen, why is Hazrat calling me back? I was thinking, and I came back. And alhamdulillah, after 3 days, that I had to leave everything, Hazrat gave hukum, order, everyone saying, where are you going? I said, no, doesn't matter, the work left there, in the middle of nafs and shaitan overwhelms, I'm doing work of the deen, and this is carrying on. But the biggest work is that which the Shaykh gives for permission, alhamdulillah, otherwise the rest is all nafs and desires. So when I came back, the third day the order came that my father had passed away. And it was, and I came at that time, what a big point, that was a fard, the bigger fard than this, the father had passed away, I had to reach there, I had to get there, to Pakistan. Subhanallah. So this point now, his Sheikh, the student of Hazrat Khwaja Masoom Namtai, the Khalifa, presented his update, scenario, students, his halqa, dhikr, and Hazrat Khwaja Masoom Namtai replied to his student a few words and said that it's a bit surprising that I'm just explaining to you in simple words the explanation or the reply of the teacher. So the Hazrat Khwaja Ramadhan said that it's surprising that you, your halqa, you know the majlis of dhikr, this is the halqa, that you mention your halqa and istiqamah, steadfastness. So I'm so happy and pleased that I became so busy in Allah Ta'ala's hamd and praise. And I'm explaining to you, that's why I'm introducing this student to you, that when you spoke about the halqa, Hazrat Khwaja Masoom Ramadhan said about, in reply to his student, that I'm hearing about the steadfastness and regularity of your halqa, of your students, and you're doing dhikr regularly. So Hazrat Khwaja Masoom said, when I heard this, what you told me, I was so happy and pleased that straight away, immediately, I fell into the praise and hamd and and glorification of Allah. And this is a great piece of news for me. And this is 400-500 years ago, this is this occurrence. Then he said, this is the time that was close to, that these are the people who sahib kashf, a person who had vision and long sight. And he said that this generation is the generation close to Qiyamah. And he was telling us this 400 years ago. And imagine now how close we are now. He said that this is the generation close to Qiyamah, the day and age of fitna, the days of difficulties and issues for the deen, the days of innovation and kharafat. 500 years ago, 400 years ago. Now let's think here. And this now, at this moment in time, to have such a halqa, to have such a majlis, they have come to the halqa, to the majlis, and they're doing the dhikr of Allah. And they're gathering around regularly. And in this day and age, this is who was saying this? Hazrat Khwaja Masoom Rahmatullahi said this. Then he said, then listen clearly, that I will tell you now that this is from Allah. And this is the biggest ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this day and age. And he was saying this 400-500 years ago, Hazrat Khwaja Masoom Rahmatullahi. And he was writing this in reply to his student, his Khalifa. Imagine this, such a great wali of Allah. I've told you how azim he was already, isn't it? We cannot imagine about his azmat, his greatness. And they knew, he knew what was asal, what was genuine. And he said further, next, and he then gave the tashri, the commentary of a couplet, of a verse. In Farsi was that verse. And a beautiful ajeeb shair and poem, a couplet. And on the basis of a hadith, he said further, and he explained again to his student, that you should consider, my student, my Khalifa, you should consider this point, that you regularly gather in a majlis of dhikr with your students, that if on a piece of earth, just two people for a few seconds sit and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the value of that piece of earth on which they are sat, that the heavens prostrates to that piece of earth. This is the value of the dhikr of Allah. This is the value of the dhikr wala. And he stated, don't be lazy on this. This is a big ni'mah that Allah Ta'ala has given this to you. And let's look at that day and age, the sheikh of that day and age, the wali wala of that day and age. And we, as today, muflis people. In poverty, we don't, there's no sign of Islam, no practice of Islam, fasad and fitna. And Allah Ta'ala sat us down here in the evening to do his dhikr. Amazing. Amazing. And further, he explained, Hazrat Khwaja Masoom Rahmatullah explained further about this silsila. And this is his explanation. And remember, understand that this is the silsila, isn't it? Because the silsila started from then, from before. And today, if a wali villa does an action, maybe there could be some contamination. But what his words are saying is genuine, authentic about the silsila. And he said, let me tell you another thing, that the silsila, the Naqshbandi series, the Naqshbandi order of teachers is not some small series order. This is the order of the Sahaba Ikram radiyallahu anhum. All the orders in the world, Chishtiya, Surwardi, etc. But Hazrat Khwaja Masoom Rahmatullah said that this silsila is unique, munfarid. It is very unique in it because its style to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's very similar to the style of the Sahaba Ikram. It's exactly the style of the Sahaba Ikram. It's like this, that all of the Sahaba Ikram, radiyallahu anhum, who got the nearness of Allah, the qurb of Allah, and they, the people who come into this silsila and practice the deen, they will reach to Allah Ta'ala's nearness just like the Sahaba did. How? So now, let's look at the companions, radiyallahu anhum. What did they have? What did they do? He stated that the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions, what benefit did they attain? Because the phase that they attained of Islam, of Deen, Allah Ta'ala's nearness and marfa, that the Sahaba attained, radiyallahu anhum, they didn't attain it from a madrasa, Islamic institution, or book, or Quran, nothing verbally or written. The phase, the blessings of Deen came to the Sahaba physically due to one sole reason, and that was the sohbat, the physical company of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the sohbat, the physical company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, had such an effect on their life. This is called istifada and iqasi, that the system, that the fares of Allah, Allah's blessings and mercy that came to the Sahaba was anakasi, reflected, a reflection, the ilm, the Quran, the hadith of sunnah, all of the subjects and the ilm, the fuyuz came from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the hearts of the Sahaba. This was the reflection, anakasi, istifada, anakasi, benefit, anakasi. And this tariqah of the Naqshbandi series to attain benefit, the same way we attain, just like the Sahaba Ikram radiyallahu anhum did. Just like the Sahaba Ikram would go and sit in the company, and they would learn the ilm from the heart of Rasulullah. Today in this Naqshbandi order, there's a Naqshbandi student, a talib, and how does he attain the ilm? Today he sits in front of the sheikh, and from the heart of the teacher, it goes to the heart of the teacher. Istafada, you will not get from no book, no physical reading or speaking. How does a student acquire? From the heart of the sheikh, it transforms and goes across, translates to the heart of the student. So the Sahabi was not a Sahabi if he did not have the company of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sahabi was given that title when he had the physical company of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he took all the ulum from the physical heart. It came as a reflection, as a splash into the heart of the companion. So that murid cannot be a student unless he sits in the company of the sheikh. So the sahaba became sahaba due to sohbat, and the murid becomes the murid, the student of a teacher, due to the company, the sohbat of the sheikh. Because the sheikh is the physical source of the ilm. So the Sahaba Ikram, they attained ilm, knowledge. What kind of students were the Sahaba? What were they? They were talib ilms. They were students of knowledge. They had three things due to which their ilm would be distributed, learnt and distributed. You understanding what I'm saying easily? I'm explaining to you about the qualities of students like you and me. So there are three things, three qualities they had. Three things due to which that they attained and benefited from ilm. For example, we go and sit in a madrasa. We have these three things. We have the pen, and we have the paper to write on it. If we don't have the pen, you can't write. So to learn the ilm of the sawwaf, which is reflected from the teacher, from the heart of the teacher, just like Rasulullah to the Sahaba, in the same way the sheikh, reflection of the teaching goes into the heart of the student. So we need three things to attain this ilm from the sheikh, from the teacher. So for example, if you have a good pen, good piece of paper, good notebook, then you will write good notes. Person who has a broken pen, no good ink, then what notes will he make? There are students like this, aren't there? So it's stated that if you have these three qualities of learning strong, intact within you, then the fuyuz of the teacher of the sheikh will come to you beautifully and strong. And the Sahaba Ikram, they were the best students in the world to attain the ilm. Do you understand what I'm saying? They were the complete afzal, the greatest examples of, there was no example from the beginning of man till today that can teach us how to learn. No Quran was learned by any human being but in the Sahaba. Hazrat Umar radiyallahu anhu, 10 years he took to recite, to learn Surah Baqarah. 10 years from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One companion in 9 years, Hazrat Abdullah bin Masood radiyallahu anhu, they used to learn the Quran from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. what students and what a great teacher. What a great teacher. But all, subhanAllah, they didn't have nothing else. It was just heart to heart. Heart to heart. What was the reason? Was they had the munasabah, they had the connection, they had the compatibility, and they had that interlink with the teachers. So for a Naqshbandi student, he needs those three same things, and if he doesn't have that, then he cannot attain the knowledge from the Shaykh. What three things? The first and foremost, the most important was muhabbat, the love. So the Naqshbandi murid needs first and foremost what? Muhabbat of his Shaykh, love of his Shaykh. First and foremost, that's it. And such muhabbat, such love, such muhabbat, that very small scale example I'm giving to you, simple. For example, you want love from your wife, isn't it? You will not feel that your wife looks at or praises somebody else, will you? Even if it's your cousin, isn't it? Even if it's your cousin, will you accept? You say that this is your cousin, he's very handsome, mashallah, and you know, his arm is very nice, and your mood will go off. And she doesn't know that he's my brother, cousin, I'm just praising him. No, no. Why? Because this is the love between the husband and the wife. And the person will go off, the mood will go off, isn't it? So in the same way, this is the status of the love of the teacher with the sheikh with the murid, that the student should not be looking anywhere else except for the direction of the sheikh. No one else should look nice, beautiful, or handsome, or intellectual, or capable, or an alim, or a scholar. Everything, all the qualities are present within who? The teacher. You don't remember anyone else, you don't have fikr or worry of anybody else, you don't look left, you don't look right, and this is called muhabbat. And if we don't have this muhabbat, or I'm remembering this other person, oh, he was a pious person, I'm remembering him, and this person was pious, I'm reading Quran for him today, I'm doing this action for that person. How could this be? Your sheikh is there, your tawajjuh, your focus is going away from your teacher, who is the source, the fountain of the blessings for you. Just like Hazrat wrote in the Maktubat, there were two ashiks, the two beloved, they were walking in the garden. You read this in Hazrat's Maktubat, the two beloveds were walking in the garden, they're wandering around, traveling, and the ashik of the Mahbub, he says that, look, how nice and beautiful is this flower. And she slapped him. Though you are walking with me and you are praising the flower, the beauty of the flower, what kind of beloved are you? No, I have no link with you. Go. So this is the love. These are the principles of muhabbat. So did you ever see or hear or read about the Sahaba Ikram who would praise any other leader at that time? They were lost, engrossed in the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the student, the best student, will be engrossed in the teacher, that he doesn't look left or right anywhere else. He doesn't focus on any other teacher. He'll be the true student of his teacher. Do you understand the points I'm making? What I'm trying to say? I'm saying for this reason that such a great sheikh, the tariqah, Naqshbandi tariqah method, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us students of this as well. So that if we start doing the work properly, we should do it nicely. Learn properly. We shouldn't be half this and half that. Half a forte, half a forte. We would have genuine love. That if somebody passes away, a sheikh passed away before, a great sheikh was here, he's gone. We have no link with this dunya. Kun fayakun. Somebody's coming, somebody's going. Just look towards your sheikh. Focus on your teacher. That is he okay? Is he fine? Is the blessing coming from the teacher? The tawajjuh, just like Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, he had the same worry with his teacher. And this is his silsila. And ajeeb ishqiyat. So much he was beaten, so much he was beaten in front of the Kaaba, that his whole body was numb, bleeding, beaten so badly. He was unconscious at home. His mother was crying. He came awake. And his wife, his mother said, eat something, eat something. He said, no, no, no. First I need to see my beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, without which I will not eat. They begged him. And his mother was not a Muslim at the time. She said, what are you talking about? You've been beaten solid. And you are just woken up conscious. Then they raised him, took him, and he saw the Prophet Muhammad and said, are you okay? Are you fine? And the Prophet Muhammad started to cry, that you've come to ask me, am I okay? Look at your hal. And he said, I have no worry now, I'm hungry. Yes, but I've seen my beloved now, I am fine, I'm totally fine. These are the examples in front of us. Why? Such a great connection he had. So imagine the sphaz, that was anyone Siddiq? That from the Sahaba, was anyone who was Siddiq? Nobody could become Siddiq, nobody. So this is the misal, the example of love first and foremost. The person, if he wants to succeed as a Naqshbandi student, then don't be like a munafiq hypocrite and look two ways and be two-faced. No, have muhabbat for your teacher, 100% pure, sincere, without any contamination, without any mixing. No, that, and if this is not there, then knock on Allah Ta'ala's door and say, Allah, I want your love, and I'm playing games, and Allah, I don't have the full love for my sheikh, I am looking elsewhere as well, and I keep on comparing and thinking others are better. Why am I thinking about others that I should not even think about another person as a teacher, or give him this thawab, or I'll serve this person and help this person? This is against adab, this is against the manners of the sheikh. For example, you cannot accept, you will not like that your wife, she praises someone else. How will your sheikh, how can your sheikh accept it? Okay, forget, the sheikh will not have any regard to this or be aware of this. Allah will be displeased that you are being a munafiq with your sheikh, that if I give you another lord, you will run after another lord. Is it? You run after the teachers, and if I give you another lord, and if I show that the power is coming from somewhere else to you, and you will go towards another lord, astaghfirullah. So we have to understand that love is the first quality, essential criterion for success as a student. Love for the teacher. Number one, muhabbat the shaykh. So to have a strong link with the teacher to attain the blessings, first you have to have love of the shaykh. Number two, khidmat the shaykh. And if you take the examples, take the best examples in the Sahaba Ikram, and the best example again, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Nobody can compare to him to his khidmat. Has Umar radiallahu anhu lost out? He was defeated in the service that Abu Bakr Siddiq did to the Prophet ﷺ. Umar could not compare. When in the expedition of Tabuk, the Prophet ﷺ said, that bring your money, your wealth, because we have to go to Tabuk. All the companions are coming, somebody's bringing this much, that much. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu and Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, they were the greatest companions. They came. And Rasulullah ﷺ said, Umar, what have you brought? I brought half from my home and I've left half behind. I brought half with me and I've left half at home. This was Sharia Mamla. He had a wife and children. There was a hukum of the Prophet ﷺ that he brought half. And then the Fakir is coming, Naqshbandi, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhum, and he's wearing his blanket wrapped around him. He didn't even have the pin there, you know, the nettles, the thorns on the ground. He used the nettle and he pinned it through his blanket to the other half so that he could wrap it around his body. He didn't even have a pin. Siddiq's coming. Siddiq, what have you brought, Abu Bakr Siddiq? He said, oh Prophet of Allah, I brought everything, left nothing back. What have you left at home? I've left Allah and His Rasul, subhanallah. Not a second passed. Jibreel alayhi salam descended to the earth and said, oh Prophet of Allah, today he has achieved brilliantly that your beloved, the libas that he's wearing today in the heavens, all of the angels are wearing this libas. All of the angels. Subhanallah, what was this? This was khidmat, service. Such an ashik, such a lover, such a servant of the deen. Allahu Akbar. What a great example. Can we compare? And Rasulullah SAW, what was his statement? That I want my eyes, I see you. Abu Bakr Siddiq, it's my eyes and I see you. And it's my daughters and they're wed to you. And it's my money and I spend on you. Oh Prophet of Allah SAW. So he didn't just say this, he practiced this. And this is the Naqshbandi student. Not that you take this and this is mine. Oh, I'll keep most and you take a little bit. Or, for example, you take one mango and I'll take two mangoes. Or if you like it, then come back, I'll give you some more. Is this the tariqah? Or shall I buy this for you? This is also a style of giving hadiyah. That, for example, I should learn the hadiyah. That when you have to give a gift, or you have to invite, you don't say, can I invite you to my house, please? Or if I ask you, do you want this thing? That this is not good. A person who doesn't have a haya, he will say, okay, invite me. So the person who's asking you, shall I bring you this or invite you? Then it means that he doesn't really want to give it to you or invite you. So when you invite or give, it's the preference of the guest. Why? Because if you give with love without asking, then you will give the best item. You don't need to ask. You will give from the depth of your heart, from your love. And you don't need to ask. And you, what you will give from the depth of your heart, then alhamdulillah, the person who's receiving it, the recipient will be so appreciative. Shall I give this for you? Shall I buy this for you? Or shall I give this to you, Hazrat, today? What is this? Why do we have to ask before we give some hadiah gift? Give from the depth of the heart. So khidmat, service, without any condition, any limit. When a person does khidmat, service, without any limit, then that is so impactful. This is our syllabus, my brothers, Naqshbandi brothers, to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's the third thing? Subhanallah. So, love of the Shaykh, khidmat of the Shaykh, and adab. Adab. And this is the letter of Hazrat Khwaja Masoom rahmatullah, I'm writing, that he wrote, I'm reading. I'm not speaking from my own opinion. And Hazrat Khwaja Masoom rahmatullah said, point number three, listen, that until today, a bare adab, a person without respect, has never reached close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, you may have love for your Shaykh, you may be serving your Shaykh, but if you're disrespectful to your Shaykh, then forget that you will get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Forget it, because the person without manners will never reach close to Allah. The biggest and most important point is adab. And if these three qualities the student possesses and implements nisbat, connection with these three underlying cornerstones of the tasawwuf, then you will get so much fares from Allah that you will not be able to look after it. Fuyuz and barakat and blessings will come to you from all corners and you will not be able to take and absorb. So my brothers, this is the path of the salikin, beautiful path of this silsila. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us success in this path, in this journey, so that we can reach close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the point here is that we need to understand this properly. We should be cautious and careful in tasawwuf and have good manners and the points that I've explained. And the most important thing is that Allah Ta'ala's dhikr is a great action indeed. From a great shaykh, from his great words he has taught us, but we can understand that he's talking then 400-500 years ago. And look today, in this day and age, where sat and doing the dhikr of Allah. Halqa, the majlis are there, and the gatherings are formed, and there's love in our hearts, and we sit and take part in the majlis, the gathering of dhikr. Massive blessing of Allah. Massive, massive Allah. So whenever, my brothers, we get a chance to get to the dhikr of Allah, the majlis, don't be lazy, because we cannot understand the reward of the dhikr of Allah. And we cannot understand that through this action, the great na'mah of Allah Ta'ala, we attain a great number of Allah. But one point to remember is that wretched shaitan was also and is always there, who takes us off track, whispers in our ears, take us backwards, reverse gear, he pulls us away from the deen. Shaitan does this. So that's why I mentioned these words, that when waswasa of shaitan comes, shaitan tries to take us off track, diverts us, he does bad actions. In this silsila, to do dhikr, to remember Allah, to serve the silsila, to do the work of the deen, to just do the work of the deen, that Allah, I want to please you. My Hazrat Rahmatullah told me that remember one thing, that dhikr of Allah, you're not just sat down to remember Allah, rather you are doing the service of this silsila. You are reviving this silsila, assisting this silsila, and moving the silsila ahead, just like a protector or an announcer who announces and continues. So Allah Ta'ala, so my Hazrat said to me that you are propagating the deen of Allah through this silsila, and you are, mashallah, praising this silsila, and you're praising the mashayikh and our pious predecessors and the sheikhs of this silsila. You're telling people methodology, giving them a framework of life, and this is a big form of worship that we cannot even imagine. We cannot even imagine. So many routes and paths have opened up for us. Allah has opened these paths, and akal has come to us, and dunya is dunya. Dunya will disappear, but we need to prepare ourselves spiritually, nicely, so we become good people, so that Allah Ta'ala becomes pleased with us. Allah has given us this tariqah, this method. We should attach ourselves to this strongly, and we should oppose the nafs and shaitan, and there's nothing to prevent us practicing this path of Naqshbandi silsila. This is a great silsila, a great methodology, full of love, no enmity, no hatred, not saying anything bad to anyone, not degrading anyone. This is a smart, straightforward, beautiful path, this silsila that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept what we've discussed, these spiritual words full of nur, and these are the words of a great Shaykh, Hazrat Khwaja Masoom rahmatullah, alhamdulillah. So may Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq ability to practice on this, and all the people who live in India, who are sat here, who are from India, we can't do this. When you go to India, make some effort and go to these places, to the mazar in Delhi, Hazrat Baqi Billah rahmatullah, Hazrat Abu Sayyid rahmatullah, Hazrat Mirza Mazar Jane Jana rahmatullah, then go to Sarhand Sharif, Hazrat Mujaddad Al-Aftani rahmatullah, Hazrat Khwaja Masoom rahmatullah, both mazar, both graves. We go to visit our relatives. Have you ever gone to meet your true relatives, spiritual? Go and present yourself, read Quran there, and send ithali thawab, do some maraqibah, and do dhikr in the heart, and see the fares that Allah Ta'ala gives. So you go there, don't you? So definitely go there and do ziyarah, but get the Shaykh's ijazah before you go there. Every action a marid does in this silsila is what the Sahaba Akram never did any action unless they didn't get permission from their Shaykh. This is the same silsila. Same silsila. That's it. This silsila is the same. On every footstep we need guidance. Why? Why? Because what happens, the Shaykh doesn't say anything, rather Allah Ta'ala guides. Allah Ta'ala guides. So if we don't take the permission from the Shaykh, then Allah Ta'ala takes it. Just like this, oh Hazrat, oh, tell me something about the shop. I'm not talking about dunya or other things or business transactions. All of the doors of dunya are closed there. I'm not talking about taking permission. Hazrat, shall I do this? Where dunya is there, where world is coming, my Hazrat gave me three nasiha, that don't be greedy for the dunya, and don't go close to the people of the dunya. Don't go close to people of dunya. Who is the person of dunya? The people are wealthy. As I said, don't keep a close link with those people. Keep the link with one connection, Allah. Keep the link with people for one reason. When they start talking about money, then kick the foot away. Yeah, kick out. This is our style. We have no link with anyone's money or wealth or dawlat. There's no charity in our pocket. That we don't speak about pound or riyal or earning money. If I ask for chanda or charity, will I say give money? No way, no way. There's no chanda, charity. I've never asked money for our own khanka. There's no money. We have nothing. We have one wealth, the biggest wealth, which is Allah's name. Allah's name. Hazrat said to me that whoever has elevated Allah's name, Allah will elevate that person. His khanka will be elevated. That's it. His dhikr will be elevated. His status will be elevated. No power of the dunya, no power of the dunya can degrade that person. Nothing can demote that person who has elevated the name of Allah, who's grabbed hold of the name of Allah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So my brothers, this is the point here. So here, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, the principles of the silsila, the tariqah, the methodology, we need to understand it, practice it, and alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, that we can make effort and strive and work as hard as we can. Say, Allah, we want your marifa, we want your nearness, we don't want to lose out in this process, we don't want to be unsuccessful. The asool, the principles you've given to us, Allah, they are so beautiful, and we will practice these, and Allah will give us success, inshallah, and there's nothing to fear, nothing to worry about. Wa akhru dawana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.